Coming up in a couple of minutes, we are going to be joined in studio by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. There are so many things to get his thoughts and opinions on. We're going to get his thoughts on Kareem Hunt, who is back in Kansas City. Here's what he had to say about his conversations with the head coach.
Our conversation was good. We just caught up, you know, asked about my family, how everything was going. I asked him about his family and stuff like that. We just, left off. He knows what type of person I am, and he just said, man, you just do what you've been doing, keep your nose clean, and, you know, stay focused, and everything's going to, you know, come full circle for you.
We fully expect him to be active for this week's game. He was inactive last week. They have now moved him up to the 53-man roster, so fully expecting him to play. We'll get his thoughts on Patrick Mahomes. We gave you guys the stats earlier in the week. Patrick Mahomes has played 19 games with Matt Nagy as the offensive coordinator. In those 19 starts in the regular season, Patrick Mahomes has 18 turnovers. He is currently last in the NFL in average depth of target, so not pushing the ball down the field and usually making one or two mistakes a game. We'll find out what Nate is seeing on film when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. Here's what he said to us. He also said this in the press conference as well about what he needs to be better at.
I think the first week there was good things. I thought I was pretty on time and in rhythm. Then last week I felt like I started off all right and then kind of got worse as the game went on. And then obviously this last week, I feel like especially in the first half, I was a little out of rhythm, not making throws that I usually make, and got a little bit better in the second half. But now all you can do is go back and practice. I think what I learned, at least from last year, is that it's not always going to pay off like right now, but if you continue to work at it, it will pay off in the long run. And so my hope is that it happens faster than it did last year, but all you can do is get back to work at practice.
So that was Patrick Mahomes' last cutoff play for you guys. We're expecting Nate Taylor to join us here coming up in a bit. Nate wrote a story about Travis Kelce, and he basically said there's nothing wrong with Travis Kelce, that is a figment of our imaginations. Here's Travis Kelce. He said he's not worried about the numbers.
We're always constantly working to get better here. That's always been my focus. I think this year stats may say something different, but at the same time, you still see the same person inside this building. And that's all I care about. I'm my own worst critic. Everything outside of this building is just noise, respectively, guys.
So that was Travis Kelce as he met with the media earlier today. I'm sure you guys know by now, Travis is off to a little bit slower start than we are used to from a player of his caliber. Right now, Travis Kelce has 8 catches for 69 yards so far this season. He has not scored a touchdown. He did have one called back. That was a big play that obviously would have changed his numbers. He almost scored a touchdown in one of those games. Right now, Travis Kelce is 3rd offensively for the Chiefs in receiving yards. Rashee Rice, it's not close. Rashee Rice has 24 targets this season. Kelce is 2nd with 8 targets. And then Isaiah Pacheco is 7. Worthy, there's only one person that is getting a high level of volume right now with Kansas City, and that is Rashee Rice, and everybody else is sort of getting in where you fit in. I will be very curious to see how the run game kind of works out for Kansas City this week. You got Carson Steele, who I thought played very well last week, Samaje Perine, who got involved in the run and the pass game as well, and also Kareem Hunt. Rob, I'll get your opinion on this. How do you think the run game is going to kind of break down for the Kansas City Chiefs now that you're throwing Kareem Hunt into the mix?
I think Carson Steele is still first and foremost running back one, something I admitted I'm probably wrong about. I was worried last week, but I think he is running back one. I think Samaje Perine is 3rd down pass catcher back. And if I had to be like, hey, who's the bruiser? Who's the Mike Allstott 3rd and 1, 4th and 1? It's goal line time. I think that's where they work Kareem Hunt back in this week. I don't see a scenario where Kareem Hunt overtakes Carson Steele for the main job, at least not yet.
So right now we got our guy Nate Taylor sitting down. We'll get his thoughts on this. So I read your story, and there's a lot to talk about with this story. You said that the Chiefs do not have a Travis Kelce problem. Now, I think that calling it a problem is a little bit extreme, but
okay.
I would point these couple of things out. It don't feel how it used to feel. There was a play. It was the first series of the game. The Chiefs threw a little swing pass, a little screen play to Travis Kelce. That play used to always go for 8 yards.
Yeah.
He got tackled for 2 yards, and he got up and kind of knew, like, hold on, wait. This is normally where I run past somebody. I stiff arm somebody. I run over somebody, and it didn't happen in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious to get, because you are on the opposite side. I don't, to me, problem seems extreme.
Okay.
But I don't know what to expect from Travis Kelce anymore.
Ooh.
For 5 years, 6 years,
yeah.
Every game going into it, it was 6 catches, at least 80 yards, and he could score a touchdown every single week.
Right.
I don't think you can predict that right now from Travis Kelce. If you are a believer that Vegas knows, Vegas doesn't think that's what Travis Kelce
anymore. What is the line? Because I don't know.
I mean, I'll get you the number that's, here.
That is interesting.
Last week it was 4.5 yeah. catches, and it was 47 yeah, it was like and a 40, half yards. Yeah, right. And he hit the under on both,
obviously.
On both of those things last week.
Right, yeah,
so
yeah.
I just don't know. You could tell me that Travis Kelce has 3 catches for 25 yards. That would be believable. You could tell me he has 7 catches for 90 yards against the Chargers because of how banged up they are. That also would make sense.
Yeah. I guess I'm the optimist on this side. I do think they are going to try to get Travis Kelce more involved against the Chargers. That being they being Andy Reid and Matt Nagy. And that's something I wanted to write. I didn't expand on it a ton just because I do think there are – I was mostly trying to get people to realize that, like, what you're hearing on television or what you're hearing from some analysts simply isn't true once you actually watch the All-22 film, which – anyone can do these days, but
I'm happy to get your thoughts on this. And yeah. I'm sorry to cut you off because this is where I think the Chiefs and people are giving us two kind of conflicting stories.
Okay.
So I understand the concept of two high safety looks and they're trying to keep everything in front of you.
Correct.
But then you also can't be double and triple teaming Travis Kelce.
Exactly.
You are not doing both.
Yes.
If that's the
correct.
Case.
Yes.
Either you are playing two high safety, which leaves the middle of the field open.
Yes.
Or you're double teaming Travis Kelce, which then opens you up to down the field. So as watching the All-22, what are you seeing with Kelce?
The thing that jumps out to me is they are just not calling plays specifically designed for him at the same rate they used to, which is a credit to Rashee Rice because, as we said, throughout training camp, he looked very good. He's in a much better place, I think, from a scheme standpoint and a playbook overall standpoint and knowing what the quarterback wants because he had a full year to obviously work with Mahomes. And he is one of the best wide receivers in the league at yards after the catch. So you were going to get this natural development from him, even despite his offseason issues. But what I don't understand is they're not throwing the ball as deep as we thought to Xavier Worthy, and they're not using Travis Kelce in the middle of the field. So to your point, yes, you can throw him a screen route. You can throw him he's running a lot more out corner routes, not a lot of seam routes, which, of course, there might be some contact, and the Chiefs, as best and as wise as they can, might be trying to, you know, rest his body, save him from the attrition that you get throughout the regular season as best you can. But he's not running a lot of sophisticated routes right now because I don't think a lot of the plays are totally designed for him. There are multiple reads. There are plays where they just get the ball to Rashee Rice in space or they swing it to Isaiah Pacheco, obviously, in the first two games. They did have some stuff designed for Xavier Worthy in the first week. But yes, defense is at play too high. But also at the same time, Patrick is not targeting Kelce nearly as much. I think the targets are more of a concern to me than the actual reception and the reception yards. The fact that he's targeted him less than 10 times in 3 games is kind of crazy when, as I like to tell people in the story, and I'll say it here, Travis Kelce's healthy. Travis Kelce has participated in every practice since training camp began. Why are you not targeting him as much? Why are there no plays in the red zone that are really designed for Travis Kelce outside of an occasional throw it behind the line of scrimmage to set up a screen against him for him against the Cincinnati Bengals? So they've only thrown the ball to him once in the red zone. There was another time against Cincinnati where Patrick, I guess I could say twice, he was targeted, although the ball never reached Travis, because I think the ball slipped out of Patrick's hand. So it's wild that they are 3-0, but their tight end really has not been a focal point in the offense, but he's still getting open. Next gen stats tells you, the eye test tells you, watching the film tells you, when he is asked to run a route that is longer than 10 yards, he can still get open against Jesse Bates. He can still get open against Von Bell from the Cincinnati Bengals. For whatever reason, Patrick's not throwing him the ball the way he used to, as often as he used to. And Matt Nagy and Andy Reid have been focusing more on Rashee Rice, spreading the ball around, and I think in the first game, trying to get as much information as they could out of Xavier Worthy.
So we'll continue this conversation on the other side because there's a lot of things I want to get your opinion on. What's the role for Rashee Rice going to be in this game? What do you make of the Chargers that have injuries at almost every single level of their team heading into it? I also want to get your thoughts on Sunday Night Football, a game that Chiefs fans are certainly going to be keeping an eye on. I'm going to guess whenever we see the ratings, Kansas City's probably going to be third behind Buffalo and Baltimore for television ratings for Sunday Night Football. Kansas City watches the NFL, and this is a game that directly affects the Kansas City Chiefs. That is going to do really well here locally. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We got Nate Taylor in studio. There are a lot of Chiefs things to get to. I will put the Travis Kelce conversation away after this.
Okay.
Do you agree that if there is a bounce back week, it's this one?
Oh.
The noise is getting loud.
It is.
People might think it's fair or unfair, but the noise is getting loud. Travis Kelce speaking to the media today was a direct response to, I know what you guys are saying about me. You don't have Derwin James. That Chargers defense is very, very banged up. Nobody is saying that Travis Kelce has to have 200 yards receiving.
No.
But you know what he needs? He needs 5 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. And that will keep them off of you for a while. But if Travis Kelce has another game that is similar to the one that he has played so far, and you're telling me heading into Monday Night Football and his brother is on the broadcast, I'm telling you the way that he has played for the first month will be the number one story heading into Monday Night Football.
Right. That's a great point. I hadn't even thought about the following week. And he's never had a week like this before, too. I think we also need to mention that. For people who are saying, well, you know, they're resting him for the postseason. Sure, that's fine. Dog, he had the longest streak in NFL history of 3 catches in every game from basically the time he became a starter to now. And he hasn't had 3 catches in the last 2 games. So it is like, it is a crazy outlier. I would recommend that Matt Nagy ask Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball past the line of scrimmage more than half the times. That's also an issue too. Like, you just can't, there's no way to get the ball to Travis Kelce if you're a quarterback. And I think I counted this in the article, but what was it, 17 times? I mean, it's nuts where the ball is either behind or at the line of scrimmage. That is also not Travis Kelce's game either.
It's also not making use of the quarterback that you have either.
Correct. So I would recommend Andy Reid and Matt Nagy have the quarterback throw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage more than half the time.
There were 2 stats that has...
Excuse me, it was 13 plays against the Atlanta Falcons where the pass was at or behind the line of scrimmage. They did run the ball 27 times, mostly because left tackle. But
it was working, too.
But yeah, and it was working, and Wanye played fine. So if he has a similar performance or, I don't know, plays better with more snaps, yeah, I don't want to see 13, for Travis Kelce's sake, and maybe for Patrick Mahomes' sake, I don't want to see 13 passes behind or at the line of scrimmage.
There were 2 stats that were very interesting to me that I've been waiting to get your thoughts on. So Matt Nagy has been the offensive coordinator for 19 regular season games.
Oh, yeah, I heard this one. Oof.
Patrick Mahomes has 18 interceptions.
Not great.
In those games.
Not great.
You mentioned the line of scrimmage. Average depth of target.
Way
Anthony
down.
Richardson is first in the NFL.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterback in the league, is last in average of target.
That's
what does that mean to you? What do those numbers say to you?
We doing too damn much. Can I say damn on the radio?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, we doing too damn much. That's hey man, you want to run a reverse? That's cool. You want, obviously, Andy Reid, we got to get the screen game in. We just doing too much. I mean, it's not like you're scheming it up for Daniel Jones. Like, every now and then it's 3rd and 7. Let my quarterback operate. And I think too often, with this particular group, it just hadn't gone well. Now you could say, well, Nate, last year they led the league in drops. Very true. So, hey, one way to limit drops is, hey, just throw it short. He can at least catch the short ones. But the catches aren't an issue this season. They don't really have a drop issue. They've obviously, I think Hollywood Brown not being available maybe has a little bit of an indicator as to like, okay, let's dummy it down a little bit. But again, there were a couple times against the Atlanta Falcons where if you look at the film, Xavier Worthy's open. Ball's not there. I don't know why. And yes, there is some shell coverage, but you can run cell concepts. That's what the Chiefs got really good at towards the end of last year, where it's like, hey, there's a guy on the shallow end, intermediate, deep. Make the defense pick between one of them. And guess what? Your quarterback's good enough to ID who's open. Wow. In zone coverage when they're playing quarters or quarter six or God knows what. They're doing too much. I mean, look at, I mean, the thing that makes me laugh, Carrington, again, Andy Reid really wasn't doing this when Eric Bieniemy was around. So, I mean, I guess you could give this to Matt Nagy. Hey, man, we're inches from the end zone against the Falcons. What if we had the quarterback roll out, motion out of the backfield? I'm sorry, what? what are we doing? Like, or you could just have the quarterback hand the ball to the running back, like any traditional offense. So, we know they got razzle-dazzle, they got trick plays, and they got to get stuff on film so that it looks different and weak, whatever. But, like, I think they're doing too much. You can have a big playbook, but also sometimes it's like, hey, man, can't the quarterback just throw a seam ball to Travis Kelce in the middle of the field? Where has that play been all year? It hasn't been called.
You got called one time. There was a penalty on the play.
It got brought back.
The one time they ran the route. That happened. I want to get your thoughts on this. Yeah. Do you think that the defense is somehow underappreciated? Because you and I are on the same social media. Man, whenever the defense gives up a touchdown, here we go. Every time. And it's like, wait. Now, that first drive from the Falcons
was
impressive.
It really was.
I mean, it was one of the best drives I've seen in the NFL so far this year.
Maybe Kurt is healthy.
It was a little bit of everything. It was Bijan. It was Drake London. It was Kyle Pitts. It was you can't have a better
opening
first
drive.
10 scripted plays than what the Falcons had. After that, they scored 10 points.
Right. Yeah.
Their defense has been the better of the two units.
Yet again.
For the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Where I think the offense, understandably, gets the benefit of the doubt. You got Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on that side.
Right.
It feels like the defense takes a lot of arrows despite, I asked Rob this question earlier. Give me the team that right now you would trade the Chiefs defense for their defense.
Ooh, that's great. That's a great question. Okay, let me think about this real quick. Maybe Pittsburgh. Maybe.
Okay.
Pittsburgh, to be fair, hadn't played anybody. Okay, they played the Broncos. Kirk Cousins couldn't even move in week one.
And they played the Chargers
last week.
They played the Chargers with a hobble
Justin Herbert. So, okay. I mean, competition's going to get tougher. But I would say maybe Pittsburgh. I would say, but I don't love Cleveland's secondary, even though I love their pass rush and their front seven players. You could say maybe the Jets, but like they haven't done it, right? They haven't done it over the course of a season, especially in the postseason. So there's not many that I can think of where I would just say, oh, I would immediately take them. Some people will say, well, what about the 49ers? Okay, Nick Bosa, I understand. Fred Warner. Yes, clearly a better player than Nick Bolton. I think on the NFC side, the best team would probably be San Francisco if they were healthy. They're not. Maybe San Francisco, maybe Pittsburgh. I just don't love Cleveland's secondary because what you did notice is that Malik Nabers is really good against the Cleveland Browns, not good secondary.
He was really good against the Cowboys last night.
He was. Also, don't have a good secondary. I don't care what anybody says. Cowboys will give up yards all season long. So,
right now, we're joined in studio by our guy, Nate Taylor. I don't feel a lot of juice for this game, and maybe this is projecting, but usually you know that it's going to be a fight between the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Chiefs usually win those games, but I mean, four of their last five games have been single digits, come down to the last 5 minutes. It's hard for me to think a team that doesn't have their left tackle and right tackle is beating Kansas City. It's hard for me to think a team that doesn't have their best defensive player, their second best defensive player, is suspended.
Yep.
I mean, you were playing a shell of the Los Angeles Chargers. That Harbaugh can potentially get that thing right, but I just don't know if he has the horses. I don't know if he has the weapons to beat Kansas City this weekend.
And they also, I looked this up today, they also have a bye week. So there's no real, outside of this being a divisional game, there's no reason why you would even want to push it. I mean, it's still September 27th. So, yeah, as much as I was looking forward to this game, considering that the league put it pretty early in the schedule so that it could have some significance in terms of, hey, at least this is a measuring stick for both teams. The Chargers, and you and I both agree with this, they were the best team that could compete against the Chiefs, although I think the Chiefs were always going to win the division. I don't want to see Justin Herbert out there. I don't want to see it because I just think the season's too important and you have a bye week next week. You don't have to play anybody. Same with Rashawn Slater, same with Joe Alt, Joey Bosa, who looked really good in the first 2 weeks and then obviously had the hip injury against the Steelers, so he shouldn't be out there. I know the Chargers are upset about Derwin James' suspension, but I mean, look, man, he hit him right in the head. What do you want? I mean, there's a reason why he led the league in unnecessary penalties, you know. So
you got to really be doing a lot. You got to be doing a lot if the league suspends you for that. The league usually.
Yes.
Now, they will take some money out your pocket.
For sure.
They usually are not keeping you off the field unless you have been a repeat offender, which is what he's been.
Yeah, which is what they said. It's like, hey, man, you got the most unnecessary roughness penalties in the league.
That happened with Kareem Jackson last year, too. He was in that same vein as well.
Yep, and he got suspended a game as well because – hey, man, that's too much helmet-to-helmet contact, and we've given you an offseason to try to improve on these things, and the behavior is still the same. Hey, I know it's sunny California. I know that the Chargers probably shouldn't have all their best players playing. I know Justin Herbert shouldn't be playing if Jim Harbaugh has any sense. Just go out there and dominate. Don't play to the level of the competition. We know the Chiefs will do that at least once or twice this 100%. Season. So I don't think it should be close. It's unfortunate that all the injuries happened to the Chargers. But, yeah, the Chiefs should – this should be a clear get-right game, especially on offense. And, yeah, outside of maybe a couple things, a couple trick plays from the Chargers, I just want to see consistent, we're the better team on defense. We're not giving up easy yardage. We're not going to miss tackles in the open field because everything should be in front of you. And – again, if Justin Herbert doesn't play, then, yeah, this shouldn't be close.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor. Where have you seen the biggest growth in Rice over the course of his last, let's say, 12 games? Where have you seen the – he's much better at this now than he was in December?
Every route's available to him now. There are some things that – I mean, if you really talk to defensive backs, you can tell what a rookie can kind of do and not do after, like, six games. And then the question becomes, how do you adjust to that coverage based on what the coaches are calling, what the quarterback's asking from you? He proved it in week two that, hey, man, if you just want to give me nice, you know, little, you make it look like it's press, but it's not really press, I'll run right by you, you know? And so he proved that against Cam Taylor-Britt for the 40-yard touchdown. And, okay, if you want to play off and give me all these inside option routes, I'm going to be open. Like, the quarterback's going to see me open real quick. So the next question becomes, and then this gets really interesting, is, okay, he's capable of running just about every route. He's not the fastest, but he's really strong with the ball. He's hard to tackle. He's a good catcher of the football. I think he's improved on that as well. Remember, if people forget, he was not a part of the Chiefs dropping all those balls, but early in the season, he did struggle with the occasional drop. So he's sure-handed. He's improved his speed. His route running's gotten immensely better. So every route's available to him. The defense now should be double-teaming him. Because if you look at the production from the rest of the Chiefs receivers, it's pretty ordinary. And, hey, if we'll see how long this goes with Travis Kelce, but he's clearly been their best option. And so now you got to start doubling him to start taking certain routes away. I think that's his biggest improvement, is that if you ask Rashee Rice to run any route, there's more of a chance now that he can be productive. He can make that catch and he can give you obviously yards after the catch.
Do you think the first game maybe put the Xavier Worthy expectations in a place that it didn't need to be this early on? Just because, I mean, since the touchdown catch in week one,
yeah,
he has 34 yards receiving.
Right.
Now, I don't think there's any cause for concern for that. Usually rookies take a little bit longer system. But if your tight end isn't going to be having those numbers, and right now, I mean, what they're doing with Rashee Rice is just not sustainable for 17 games.
True.
It's kind of like what's happening with Malik Nabers and the Giants.
Yes.
A great player. You cannot throw it to one player 14 times
in the game.
That just does not work every single week. Like, you're going to need to establish someone else.
By the way, the Giants did that on a Thursday night game. That's crazy.
Yesterday, the Giants only had two offensive weapons. They had Nabers and they had Robinson. That was
it.
No one else got going for them offensively. They didn't really try to get anybody else going offensively yesterday.
I just can't believe it. I was like, hey, man, great game. Great job against the Browns. Hey, bro, you're going to be running all them routes again on Thursday. I mean, he is young. God bless him. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they've targeted Rashee Rice 29 times. The next highest is Travis Kelce with 12. You know, and then you have Worthy with 11. So a lot of those have been short. I think you are right that first game hit so hard, man. It was so good. It was like, oh, they found him. They found the speed demon. All right, man. Kingsley played bad in the second half. And so everything got warped, I think, because of that. So they hit the deep ball to Rice against the Bengals in the first half 2 weeks ago. And then Kingsley deteriorated in front of our eyes. And Patrick said, oh, hell no. I gotta start checking it down. Maybe scramble, throw it to Kelce. Great. It's another penalty. It brings us back. And then because of the change at the left tackle position with Wanya Morris, maybe the Chiefs got way too conservative and just said, hey, man, 13 passes. Every pass is going to be within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. So that takes away what Worthy's great at, which is obviously, you know, taking the top off the defense. There was that one play, and I know this is unfortunate for Worthy too. There was that one play where I believe is it the first drive? It may have been the first drive where you could tell they schemed it up. They got the coverage they wanted. They had Mike Hughes on Xavier Worthy. That's a win 10 times out of 10. It's a nice little, hey, go about 12 yards, make them think it's going to be a corner. Actually, it's a post. I'm wide open. And for whatever reason, Pat took a second longer to throw that ball. He had good protection, and then he threw it a little late, and then because Xavier Worthy's a rookie, he doesn't body Mike Hughes out of the way to have, you know, clear rebounding position on the jump ball. Mike Hughes, being a savvy veteran, comes over the top, pass breakup. They never throw the ball to Worthy down the field ever again in that game. So maybe it's something where you should come back to Matt Nagy, come back to Andy Reid and say, hey, man, he was open. Let's try it again. Let's just try it one more time. Maybe it's play action. Maybe we find a way to get Patrick to roll out of the pocket so that he has time to operate and give Worthy the time downfield. But, yeah, this is unsustainable, to your point. They need to get Worthy, Kelce, hell, even Justin Watson a few more touches. Because even as I look here, like 4 receptions on 5 targets for Justin Watson, pretty productive player. They just don't throw him the ball a lot. So – and he has good yak yardage too, which is interesting. Like 19 of Justin Watson's 60 yards are yards after the catch. So it's a decent amount. They got to get back to hopefully solid left tackle play from Wanya Morris if he is indeed the starter for the foreseeable. And then
I don't know if anything happened on Sunday to think that Kingsley goes back to getting that job.
It just feels right now.
To me, this was my read on it. They didn't really have a competition for any part of the summer.
Right.
And because of the way that the practice rules are, you couldn't really see Kingsley get live bullets.
Yep.
You then saw him get live bullets, and it scared you what you saw on film. So you had to kind of about face, and you had to do something completely different. And you went with Wanya, who I thought performed pretty admirably. I mean,
yeah.
The Chiefs, I mean, they kind of tried to do what they did with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, where, hey, we're going to give this guy the job. We're going to give him all the reps. We're going to pour our resources into him. Well, that film didn't look the way it looked for Creed and it looked for Trey Smith.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty shocking how well he played to start against the Bengals and how it just got worse and worse with each drive. You just don't see that really in the NFL at any position, let alone at one of the more important at left tackle. So, yes, Wanya Morris is expected to start against the Chargers, if you were wondering about that. And also, yeah, it's time for them to get the average depth of target to be, you know, bigger. They need to take more shots downfield, even if it is, you know, shell coverage or, you know, trying to put a top on the defense or, excuse me, on the offense. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not worried about Xavier Worthy, but I do know that they got to get him into the mix more often than what they did against Atlanta. They gave him a couple chances early in the game. It didn't go well, and so they focused more on Rashee Rice, the occasional Travis Kelce pass, and then handing the ball off. I mean, Patrick had to scramble, I think, more than he would have liked against the Falcons. But they also need better plays in the red zone, too, and that may also help Xavier Worthy.
What do you think the plan is for Kareem Hunt this week?
8 to 12 touches, see how it goes.
That's a lot of usage.
It is. I mean, the thing that the game script kind of dictated this, so I understood it. They had a lead at some point, and then they also had the four-minute opportunity. They stunk. They gave, 17 carries to Carson Steele? So, you know,
Andy, I thought he looked good with the opportunity.
Yes, yes, he did. He did just fine. And so Andy's not going to be afraid to give Kareem Hunt the ball if the first couple snaps go well for him. I think one indicator for the Chargers is, hey, man, when Kareem Hunt's in the game, they're not going to be asking him to block. So there might be some play actions leak out to the flats. But for the most part, there might be an occasional screen to Kareem Hunt, again, just to see what he looks like with the ball in his hands with a little bit more space out on the perimeter. But most of the time Kareem's in the game, you kind of know this is outside zone, this is counter, this is power. And just see how he looks. I think, again, against a defense that is decimated with injuries or with a suspension, obviously, with Derwin James, hey, this is a great opportunity to just test him out. Let's say you get up 7-0 or 7-3 middle of the first quarter. Okay, here, now he comes off the bench, and you give him four opportunities to do well. You kind of assess, get him, you know, get his wind ready, and then you can maybe even ride him a little bit in the second half to get his legs into action if you have a commanding lead against the Chargers.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of The Athletic. Coming up on the other side, I want to get your thoughts on Sunday Night Football. We got Bills and Ravens, one of the more important games so far in the early season. We'll get your thoughts on that. We'll also get your official prediction on the game. I'm also curious where SoFi ranks in terms of stadiums that you've been to in the league. We got Nate Taylor in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, we got Nate Taylor joining us in studio. We are off a little bit early today because of the Kansas City Royals. They are in Atlanta taking on the Braves. The Royals' magic number is 1. What that means is if the Royals win any one of their next 3 games and or the Twins lose any of their next 3 games, then the Royals are locked into the playoffs. So certainly keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, a couple of things before we get you out of here, and I appreciate your time. Where does SoFi rank in terms of stadiums in the league?
Man, it's so nice. Highest recommendation. Go see that stadium. It is really nice. It might be 1. It's that good. Like, no bad seat in it. You could tell they put billions of dollars into it. I would tell people most NFL stadiums are pretty cool outside of Arrowhead, obviously. But there's a reason why that thing costs the way it does. And it's a great venue. I really like it. It might be, man, I haven't thought about this in a long time, but it's definitely top 5, and it might be 1, just because I think it provides really good sight lines for the action.
I haven't been to SoFi. It's hard for me to think that there's a stadium experience better than the one that I've seen in Dallas. I mean, that Cowboys stadium, when you see it for the first time, it is impressive. I've been to Lambeau before, too. Cowboys experience is number 1 on my list, though.
One of the ones that is more disappointing is I just don't love San Francisco Stadium out in Santa Clara. It's just kind
of... You would think that's one of the better ones.
You would think. It's just like, it's just... I mean, it's all right. I mean, Allegiant is really nice. The home of the Raiders, of course. I'm trying to think where else. you know, I think.
Whose stadium do you like more, the Falcon Stadium or Allegiant Stadium?
Allegiant. Allegiant feels a little bit more intimate, whereas Mercedes-Benz is really nice, impressive. It's cool. It was cool to see the roof be off, because that's something the Chiefs could think about for 34. If they get a retractable roof with the new stadium, wherever it is, whether it's in Missouri or Kansas. But I think Mercedes is bigger, my memory is correct. And you could tell Allegiant is made just for football, where I think Mercedes-Benz is, it could be a bunch of things, which is fine. I mean, like, they'll host like Final Fours and stuff like that. But one person told me in Atlanta that like Falcon games are cool. That's Georgia Stadium. Like, in some ways, I wish Georgia played there more often, because it gets loud in there. It's a great venue for the SEC Championship, of course. So the vibes of Mercedes-Benz, I was told, is a lot better for a big-time college game, Georgia game, more so than a Falcons game.
Right now, we got Nate Taylor in studio. We got Sunday Night Football between the Ravens and the Bills. I know it's early on in the season. It's funny you make the analogy with Georgia.
Yeah.
Because I said earlier, it feels to me, and it's early, it is the first 3 weeks of the season, that Buffalo feels like Texas and the Chiefs feel like Georgia.
Ooh.
That Georgia is still the number one team in the country until proven otherwise.
Exactly.
But man, you look at the way Texas is playing right now, you can't tell me that right now Texas isn't the best team in the country. They got to prove it on the field. Those two teams play each other later this college football season.
Yep.
So we get a chance to have that question answered, and obviously the playoff, all of those things. This is a really good game. I think the Ravens started to figure some things out in the second half against the Cowboys. I like the Ravens at home in this game.
You do?
I like them at home.
Hey, man. Josh Allen is the MVP this year, guys.
He's, you know what?
Shut it down. Shut it down, Rob.
If you could end the season in September, Buffalo would be a dynasty. Buffalo would be the best team in the league.
Hang the banners.
Yeah, they'd be the best team in the league if you could just stop playing at the end of this week.
Now, Let's look at the schedule. To be fair, they ain't played nobody. Even I know that, y'all. I know the Buffalo Bills ain't playing a soul out there, okay? The Dolphins should have lost to the Jags in week one. They got stomped on. The Cardinals are like a pesky up-and-coming team, but they're not good. So Josh Allen became a superhero in the second half of that game. And then, yeah. Beat the brakes off the Jags, man. There were some throws in that first half.
I mean, from like the word go.
Yes.
They jumped on.
Exactly.
Them.
There were some throws Josh made in that game, but I said, oh, just stop it, guys. I don't need to see the rest of this game. Let's go to the Commanders Bengals. Thank God for that doubleheader, because whoo. So you might be onto something. I understand Buffalo ain't played nobody yet. I understand that there's definitely more urgency on Baltimore to get the win. Because you definitely don't want to fall behind to the Chiefs and the Bills with the tiebreakers involved.
You're done for the one seed if you lose this game.
Yeah, so there should be obviously an urgency there. Weather shouldn't be a factor. Obviously, we're in late September. All right, Lamar. I need Lamar and Isaiah Likely to just go off. It would help if Derrick Henry's been fine for what he's been asked to do. So I don't feel like he's been an issue. I don't know, man.
You actually know who the Ravens could really use? J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? They could really use J.K. Dobbins right now. He's healthy.
You know, could else use J.K. Dobbins? The Chiefs.
Yep.
Remember when he was in the building?
Oh, I do.
See you later.
Oh, I do. And they said, that's a little too high for us.
Which was like $3 million.
Crazy, right?
The Chiefs
didn't invest in the position at all in the offseason. You know what? That's a little high for us. You know, what if we did an incentive-laden deal? Don't you have Isaiah Pacheco? Yeah. Come on through. Okay. All right. Well, you know.
J.K. Dobbins signed a one-year deal. His base is $1.6 million with incentives up to $750,000.
Crazy.
It's a nothing contract.
Yes.
For a guy who this season, only taken this year.
He's played well.
He's been a top five back in the league.
Played
this,
really well.
If we're only factoring in this season, McCaffrey hasn't played, some injuries.
Right
now, J.K. Dobbins has been a top five back, and they have him for less than $2 million.
I said, no, we got this young boy named Carson Steele. So
I do have to get your thoughts really quick, because I know we're up against it here. I have to get your thoughts really quickly on Cincinnati.
Oh, no.
I think they're losing this weekend on the road.
It's done, guys.
I think they're losing this week.
The vibes are off. The coaching staff has not been good. Like, even Lou Anarumo didn't, like, adjust to the Commanders. Like, what is happening?
You and I can see. I can see it right now on CBS. It's a wrap. I can see Andy Dalton playing well. I can see the hugs on the sideline, and Andy goes over shaking the hand of Joe. Like, you can see the script. I don't even need the points. I'm taking Carolina on the money line this weekend.
I don't blame you. I mean, did you see how inspired them dudes looked in Vegas?
They got a real quarterback. They got a real QB. They got something like a complete passes down the field. They didn't know how to act.
Right.
Deontay Johnson was like, wait, hold on. This reminds me of my old days. This reminds me of the old days. This is great.
They couldn't stop a single drive for the Commanders with a rookie quarterback. They're cooked.
He looked good.
He did.
Oh, he looked really good.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm picking Josh Allen, though. I love Josh Allen. Go Bills. He's the MVP until proven otherwise.
That is our guy, Nate Taylor, joining us in studio. Always great to catch up with him. Rob, we appreciate you. Go Royals. You know what? You don't even need the help of the Orioles. Just win today.
Please.
You go in the postseason. I appreciate you guys. Back on Monday, I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.